Before we get into this, even the intro, any of it, this is major spoiler warnings. If you have not read the latest Artemis, if you have not read the latest, even half of Artemis, do not listen to this podcast. There are a lot of spoilers into the characters, the development, even plot. So if you are at least a good 10 books behind on Artemis, this is your warning. Viewer discretion is advised. If you go into it, I'm not getting yelled at later that you weren't warned. You have now officially been warned that there are spoilers, and we're talking about stuffs. Even if the title is It Is About Artemis, stuffs, spoilers, you now know. Welcome to Fiction Authors Talk Books, or Fat Books Podcast. This episode, I'm talking with my darling editor about the dynamics and growth of Artemis's characters. This is a safe space for people of the industry to talk about the industry, the craft, and we'll definitely go off script. If you enjoy the podcast and would like to see your favorite author on here, send them this link, and they can get in touch with us at fatbookspodcast@gmail.com. We take all authors who write fiction and have been published as long as they're polite. Thanks for joining us, and on to the podcast. Another behind the scenes of, we're giving away huge things here, but another thing, Stephanie was originally going to die. That was the original outline, that she was going to die, and Tamsin was going to have to come to terms with the fact that people were going to die for her as the future Queen of Faerie, and that was the role, and da-da-da-da-da.
She didn't die.
Yeah, no, she doesn't die.
Like, I figured.
So, but that was the original, and right. That was what actually stumped me and took me a while to finish this one, because I got to that scene and I was like, for one, I've talked with Lisa about this several times, is I don't like to kill off characters if I don't need to. I'm definitely not a Game of Thrones fucking author here. Like, I don't like how often authors use it. I don't like it that it feels like... it is necessary. I'm not especially for like Luke. It was necessary for her to get those feels. It was necessary for the reality of life that everybody doesn't make it, like, and bad things happen, you know, the grief and the, but I also don't like how often authors use it as like just a flippant tool of like to get the feels or the emotions.
Close
or
the door.
Crying.
Yeah.
It's an easy, or even like I've picked on Grey's Anatomy of like, oh, a contract ended, so let's kill them off. Like, you know, you just stop murdering everyone.
I have like, never so seen Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, well, Game of Thrones, any of them. Like, we don't need to kill everyone all the time. Like, you know, you build these characters up, and then half the time they write the next character, and I think the next character isn't as good as the one they just killed off, or, you know. So, well, we're coming to the end of and that's my other point, is I don't like how often when they authors wrap up series, their way of closing out the series is to, yeah, kill off a bunch of characters. So I didn't want to do that. I also struggled with this point of, and it will, you know, the last couple books, it's obvious where I'm going with this, so I'm not really giving away, like, spoiler. But it's obvious, or I'm sorry, it's an issue that Tamsin had problems with from the beginning about this losing magic, the wings being injured, losing magic, and how quick fairies write each other off. And she said it in several books ago. That was my breadcrumb when I was debating what to do here and like back and forth, that, you know, it's probably a chicken egg situation where they were saying, you know, oh, somebody who's, yeah, their wings broken, they can't magically, and Tamsin was saying like, yeah, but was it because her wing was broken or because everybody gave up on them? Did they stop teaching the magic? Did they shun them? Did they give them a fair chance? Or was it really that wing being broken and that magic loss? So I think it's important that Tamsin, who is such an advocate for the underdog, who's such a don't write people off or don't tell me what I am, to really be there and fight for Stephanie now. I just think that was a much better message. Especially with how contentious everybody hates everybody and everybody's fighting and everybody, this person sucks. And we all, I think right now, fighting for each other and that giving people a chance and is a much better message and more important than, oh, she's dead, let's grieve.
Right. Well, okay. So I'm not a very emotional person. But you know what's going on with my dad. And so when you were writing about like the Veterans Affairs things, and I was like, oh, yes, like my dad if anyone cares, is going through the process of being diagnosed with Alzheimer's or dementia or something. And so my mom is dealing with a whole lot through the VA. And so he's having a lot of experiences with people talking down to him or
writing him off.
Yeah. And this man got his first pair of shoes at the age of 4. So he grew up dirt poor. Yep. And ended up holding patents and becoming, he was in the Air Force and he developed products for the disabled. And so it's like, hey, he was a person. There's a person in there. And so that's very emotional for me.
Yeah. And I think that's something we've all been through. I saw it with my grandpa. My close friend is dealing with her own mom as well. Like as a society, and just we write off way too many people. Mm-hmm. And I read this thing, and this is completely different than obviously Stephanie's situation or even what you were talking about. But I saw this thing where somebody gave a homeless guy food, and the homeless guy was nice. He thanked them. But then the person saw the homeless guy, the guy started to leave, and he turned back and he saw the homeless guy throw out the food. And he made a huge fuss about it. Got in his face, just a jerk about it, and the homeless guy was scared, and it turned into a whole thing, and I guess the guy was interviewed, and he said, look, I'm grateful for that person for giving me food, but I don't know that it wasn't messed with. You don't take food from strangers. He's like, I knew somebody who ended up in the hospital and died because somebody thought it'd be funny to put laxatives in the food they gave a homeless person.
Mm.
And you can't trust anything nowadays. He's like, we're getting filmed on TikTok and it's funny to kick people who are homeless or do this and that and this prank. And he's like, I appreciate when people want to do nice things, but even if it's sealed, I don't know that it's not been tampered with.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I know that it's the whole thing that we're going to buy booze or drugs with if we're given money. And that whole just different perspective, one, I can't believe as a society we're that horrible that we would mess with. It never occurred to me that somebody could be that horrible. Of course, people can be. But like, it never crossed my mind that somebody would be that evil.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. To screw. Like, I never thought of that because I've given food to homeless people. Like, I just never thought of it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm an idiot. I wouldn't take food from strangers either. Of course, I've said the same thing as an author that I don't take food to the P.O. box because somebody tried to give me coconut something. Right when I started, they made me coconut marshmallows and didn't tell me there was coconut in them. But luckily so knowing I had a coconut allergy, somebody thought it'd be funny.
Oh,
yeah. It was great because I was a brand new author and they thought it'd be funny and they didn't like that I wrote gay romance. So, you know, let's just poison me with coconut in my marshmallows. That's great. So like, I'm an idiot. Of course, I know people fuck with food, but like that whole perspective of like, I never thought of that. Of course not. But like... It's that whole thing that we just write people off and don't see it from their side. Like,
right, when there's a perceived deficiency.
Yeah. And so now in my mind, it's like, oh, well, what's the answer? And it's like, oh, well, food gift cards. But then like, how do you, they don't have space. Well, I guess they'd have space for it. But like, how do you know if they have the place near them? And it's like, it's just everything is a lot more complicated. And like Tamsin says a lot is that people are just busy. People have a lot on their minds. And like, I would like to think I'm not a bad person. I don't think I'm the best person. I don't think I'm like, I'm pretty petty at times and I'm a little evil vindictively at times, you know? So like, I'm definitely not the purest person, but I'm a good person. And I've never thought of this, but like everybody's busy. I'm so busy and bogged down with my own crap half the time. I don't just sit here and count my toes and think about the plight of somebody I've never met. So, like, I think that is one of Tamsin's biggest qualities is, like, she looks at the different sides of, look, we can't just write these people off. And for her to even admit that she is nicer to strangers giving them credit than she's been to her own mother, I think was a huge, huge like breakthrough for her.
Well, her two main motivations for any decision she makes are fear or comfort, in my opinion.
You're not wrong, definitely.
So she, if she is doing something for someone, she is making decisions based on someone's safety or someone's comfort. And I don't know if it's always been like that, because I came in, you know, a little bit later, and 20 books, a lot, I've read them, but 20 books ago is a lot. But she always errs on the side of keeping someone safe, or keeping herself safe, keeping the fairies safe, the hobgoblins, whoever, or what's going to make them feel best right now. And I think that those are her two gut reactions to every situation. And I can't remember why we were talking about this.
Stephanie.
Oh, Stephanie. Yes.
Yeah.
And so safety wise, she knows that Stephanie has oodles of experience. She's always going to make the best decision, which she did in that case. She threw herself in front of Tams. And then how are you going to fix Stephanie? Which is, we're going to bring her maid in. We're going to give her all the food that we can give her that she loves.
Yeah.
We're going to make her comfortable. And then we're going to make her useful.
Yeah.
She's going to have a purpose.
Yeah.
That's all I had to say.
Yeah. As sad as it is, it was like the pieces also fell into place of what Tamsin really wanted. And now she had the reason, the catalyst of making it happen, with the separation of like church and state, with the guardians and some of the stuff.
Right. And she had the bare bones of her government. She had all of these things sort of fleshed out. But once she did the division of the forces,
now she's coloring in the lines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now she, and it's not that it was like something she would have wanted to happen, but it was like,
no,
this happened and it's perfect for proving my point.
Yeah. It's kind of like it didn't really happen and somebody was in the background evil giggling and putting all the pieces together. I admit, right, that was a little convenient of the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, what can I say? But yeah, hey, the other option was Stephanie died. So we like Stephanie alive.
We do.
No, I definitely think that I'm glad I took more time with it and went circled back. And I think that actually turned out way better, especially because I had been dropping breadcrumbs that she had a mate and, you know,
yeah,
that there was somebody. I think they're going to be so adorable together. I wanted that pairing. There's one more that's going to, I'm going to announce officially that I've been wanting to. There's going to be a couple.
Okay.
Okay. So wait, we were going through the guys. So we did Julian Darby. Okay. Who else? Whose journey do you want to talk about next?
I think we should say Neldor for last.
Okay. I will say though, I am shocked how many have forgiven him so easily and are on Team Neldor. I honestly thought he was going to have a lot more redemption and people were voting him their favorite and like, oh yeah, he's my favorite book boyfriend. He's amazing. I'm like, really already? Like I thought I'd have to redeem that son of a bitch some more. Do you guys remember how he started and what he did at the beginning? Like, did you forget him? Apparently he's just hot enough to forget. Some amnesia happens when he's that
hot. So he reminds me of the, I can fix him. No, really, I can. The Taylor Swift. I can fix him. I can fix him. You know, he's in. Have you? You've heard the song,
you're,
I assume.
Swiftie.
Huh?
You're such a Swiftie.
Oh well, I'm forced to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, he's in the bar. He's saying all the wrong things, and everybody's like, "What are you doing with this guy? Like, that you're too good for him," and all that stuff. And even though at the end of the song he is not renamed, but that's what he reminds me of. Like, he has the ultimate redemption arc where he has,
you're so funny,
come from just such a dick. Like, he's such a dick. Which part of that is the way he was raised. He has the ultimate, that's probably why he's the worst of the worst of the bad boys when it comes to how he treats her, and then he is falling all over himself to just be everything she needs.
See, what's really,
I'm sure that's what it is.
Oh yeah, but it's really funny because I normally hate that trope. I hate that. I am not a fan of like the bad boy redeemed. I don't like that. Neldor's different. He is different because there are a lot of factors, and there was a lot of, it was very complicated. Obviously, I am the one who redeemed him, but I, especially when it's like the high school ones where they were super bullying, uh-huh. and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's okay now because he loves me. It's like, no.
Wait, how old is he? He's over 100, right?
No, Neldor is like 20.
Oh, I thought he was born.
Well, no.
How old is he?
Neldor, you're the editor. How do you not know this?
Your brain.
Well, you have a life besides my books. I know. Yeah. No, Neldor is, I think, only a year. Technically, he's a year or two older than Tamsin, but yeah, because he just graduated Artemis the year before her. So he's only a year or two older than her, but he was frozen for 20 years. So technically, he's like 45 or something, but he's really not because he was frozen for 20 years.
Okay. Well, I was thinking indoctrination. So, like, he grew up, he had 20 some years of feeling the way that he felt, being told to feel the way that he felt, in my opinion. That, you know, you are just as important as the, like, you know, like Perry, well, you know, all the stuff.
Yeah. So
that's, I don't want to excuse his behavior, but I don't think it's the same as, oh, I was just a you know, terrible person in high school because I was cute. I think he, maybe that's why it's so easy to forgive, because he was like, his eyes were opened to all of the fallacies. Maybe. I'm trying to excuse some of your readers here for their love of Nell.
But, you know, it's
I don't know.
It's, you know, completely fine. Like, if people like him, it's just, it's funny because I don't actually like that. I'm not a big fan of that, like,
redemption,
you know,
arc.
Yeah, I'm, well, the bullying, the enemy, it's not so much the enemies to lovers, but it's more the, yeah, it's not even he was really abusive, but yeah, the, especially if it's the bullying aspect and that kind of stuff. But yeah, so it's the first one I've really written, and apparently I thought I'd have a lot more to go, and people were like, nope, we're good. We're on Team Neldor. I, you know, he's awesome. And I'm just laughing like, oh, whoa, okay. Like, oh,
yeah, he doesn't bother me. I mean, of course he used to, but he doesn't.
Yeah, well, he was a complete asshole.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, we talked about him.
That was a pretty short talk. He was an asshole. Now he's not. We like him. You know, yeah. We're all good.
But it's interesting how when Tamsin makes decisions, she kind of looks at him, or she'll be like, right, buddy, right? So it's like she relies on him now. And I'm surprised there's not more conflict between him and Julian, because Julian was her sounding board and still is.
Yeah.
But he has accepted that Neldor has more clout when it comes to fairies, I think. But she does defer to him, or she does. Sometimes he reins her in and he's like, listen, you don't need to do this, or hey, let's do it this way. And she doesn't balk at it like she used to.
So who is your favorite?
Probably Hudson.
Oh, really?
I mean, Hudson is always, I mean, he's always my physical choice. Big, beefy, kind of dumb, kind of.
Okay, so let's talk about Hudson then. He's your favorite.
He's big. That's what I like.
He's big? That's it?
He's big. He protects. He kind of, like, I don't want to say he takes over, but he dominates in the best ways.
In the bedroom, mostly, because the rest of the time he is an absolute, again, what was that word? Golden retriever boyfriend.
So, you know, he's given up being
king.
Yes. And he cares, you know. He's probably, as far as I can tell, he's pretty relieved, because he's like, I don't know. But he, I don't know. It's like he and Luca, the same as with, as they're kind of living their lives, but they're there when she needs them. They are present. And they offer what she needs
Hudson, we like him because he's big and strong, and but he doesn't take over. I do like that about him, too.
Yeah, he has ideas.
He steps up but doesn't take over. Yeah. Neldor takes over a little too much. The boy needs to sit back a little bit.
Yeah. So Hudson comes from, I don't want to say dragons are more brutal, but they're like, they run things very differently from what I can tell. And so he offers her out-of-the-box ideas that aren't out-of-the-box for him, but he offers her things that she probably wouldn't have thought of because she doesn't come from that. And the people around her, you know, like the warlock, they're so refined. The Empire's the same way. But when you get to the animal shifters, they're just different. Like, they have... they're a little more hands-on. They're a little more do and then think. And so I think she gets from Hudson that, I don't know, like, hit first, ask questions later kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just like that he is more physical and more in the trenches with his people. And not only does he use magic or use, you know, powers, he also uses himself and uses his body and his dragon and his animal instincts on things.
Megan also dirty, dirty.
Well, that's not really where I was going with it, but yeah.
The way you were saying it, though, there was like, and his body, and it's physical, and
oh, like he's using his size, like you're not gonna mess with my girl.
I know, but maybe it's just your accent then. But I think Lisa's gonna back me up on this when you sounded a little like,
I have an accent.
Of course you have a twang. You have an. Of course you have an accent. We all have accents.
Midway.
But yeah, the way you said it, and you were like, he's, you know, he's physical. Yeah, see? Lisa's saying the passion's coming through over here. You're like, he's physical, and it's, you know, he gets in there, and it's, I'm just like, okay, this is the
I grew up around farm boys, and yeah.
This is the audiobook version that's the NC-17. Tell me more. Tell me more. Ooh la la. No, yeah, but you're just stating why Hudson is fabulous. What's his progression? Where's how far has he come? And
well, he doesn't take over. Like, he used to just kind of
think that everything was what it was. Like, this is the way things were done because that's what his parents did. Like, he didn't walk through the progression of why or this worked for them. Like, now he understands the next steps of, like, this can't work for Fairy, or it won't work because it's just Tamsin, not a mated couple, or his dad is king versus a young woman. Like, I think that's the big progression of his rockhead.
He would, like, protect her at all costs and just hold his hand out to ward everybody else off. Like, it was always about, this is my girl, I'm gonna, like, my baby kitten, and I'm gonna take her into this closet, and you're gonna stay away, and we're gonna make all these decisions based on, I'm keeping my girl safe, and I'm gonna do, it's the animal instinct thing, like, that's how he always operated, and so now he is strategic, and he's using some of the knowledge of probably what he learned at Artemis, and what his family, you know, has taught him about running a kingdom or being an heir. And so he's putting those three things together rather than just, this is my girl, I'm going to protect her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of the stuff was like, he had to unlearn what his parents taught him or what he saw from his parents, because that was all he knew about how it worked or running a kingdom. And the dragons are super different from Fairy. And it, like, again, having King Xavier versus young Tamsin is very different. Or, like, he just, even that interview books back where when they announced that they were engaged, it was just, that was what needed to be done. My parents said so, this is how things are done. And it's now he's come into his own better of, what do you need? What do you see this as, Beastie? What do we want? Not what everybody else wants. How do you want this to go? Even him standing up and saying, look, everybody's thinks you gave me this job placatingly, or this is what I want this role to be. This is what I see. The Hudson from book two, three, four even, could never have articulated, you need to take this more seriously, Tams. You need to give this role more concrete. You need to take your protection more seriously and like the security of the capital, you know? So I think in a lot of ways he's come maybe the furthest most subtly.
Mm-hmm. I think he was having a good time at the beginning. Like, he was like, oh, I got this hot girl. She wants to have fun. Like, she wants to go and like do this eating contest, and she's real powerful, and like, I'm real powerful, so let's play. And I think that he was really enjoying their relationship, but they had, for lack of a better way of saying it, like, they were riding on different wagons. And so, like, he has hitched his wagon to hers, and now they're on the same path or whatever. And they can still have fun. They can still have a great time. But now it's seated in more than just you're hot, I'm hot, we're going to have a great time, and everything's very spicy, and we can do a lot together. So I feel like he has grown. He's matured quite a bit.
It's definitely that, where, you know, he was Team Dragon, and now he's Team, you know, this is my mate. But it's in his, well, especially because, you know, he didn't know her lineage, or even that she was a fairy and all that stuff. So it's also, he's come into his own. He's Hudson and River, not Vogel. And everything was just, he was the heir. This is how things are done. Now he's grown up. He's graduated. I think he's had one of the most significant growth that's been the most subtle, because it's been some backsliding a little bit, you know, and he takes it all very seriously. But like you said, it always seems to be around her, but I think a lot of it has also been about him, what he wants, his finding of his own voice, metaphysically, literally, because he wasn't very talkative, all of it, like, emotionally.
I agree.
Hudson's one of my favorites too. I just think he's great, and all the chuffing and why name dragon.
He's somewhat simple.
What?
He's not as complicated, I don't think, as some of the others. He's not simple.
I think he's very deep, but he's not drama. Like, he doesn't.
Right.
Yeah. Besides his tunnel vision, he doesn't like to be drama. He doesn't want to be. You know, he's. And he listens.
He's a little plainer.
Yeah.
Plainer speaking and plainer to understand. Just kind of.
And we like a boy who listens.
Cuts to the chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like a guy who listens and lets it get all out, and then says, okay, let me fix it for you, baby girl. You know, we like a boy like that. Mm-hmm. So that leaves Luca, who you don't really like, I don't think.
I have the least to say about him, because I don't
care.
Yeah.
You're mad about him.
I am mad about him, because I don't know that he, I don't know. I don't see enough.
I don't think, well, I've said this many times. I don't get upset when people are like, he's my least favorite. Everybody's got to be somebody's least favorite. I'll be honest. Luca's might be my least favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody accused me of being racist because of that. I was like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything? It's not about him being whatever. Everybody can't be the top pick. Everybody can't be the savant, or can't be the fairy prince. Somebody had to be the meh of the group. And it wasn't even like the designated how it turned out. It's just Luca was the most drama. And for me, that made him meh. But
yeah,
somebody had to be the most drama. Somebody had to be
the baby.
Yeah.
He's sort of a baby.
Yeah. It did surprise me that people forgave Neldor way more than they forgave Luca for what he did. And I saw Neldor's crimes as worse than Luca's.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's so funny that people are like, she should get rid of a lot of people are still like, they should get rid of him. He's dead weight. There's nothing redeeming about him. He shouldn't be forgiven. And I was like, wow. I, you know, if I was going to drop one, I would drop Luca too. But I think she needs him. I think the way Tamsin describes them and how they all do things differently for her is accurate. And that, you know, Darby can just sit there with her, you know, Julian's the one, like you even said, that she feels comfortable going to for advice now. Neldor is her partner in crime scheming. Hudson's the dragon that will knock them all away. But sometimes she needs Luca that will say, Tams, what do you want? And lets her be the kid that she never got to be, with the squishmallows and the cream puffs and the goofy bear, you know, snuggly and all that. I think she needs that. I think to heal her inner widow girl, she needs the snuggly bear now that he's not a dipshit. So, you know, again,
he is the dad who would play with the kids and never help.
Yes.
That's why, maybe why I have a visceral reaction to him sometimes, where I'm like, come on.
Well, I don't know about that, considering how he, you know, beat his brother back into place several times and like lay down the law on certain things and has busted into, you know, so maybe not do nothing, but I think he's the one that will make sure everybody doesn't take it all too seriously. I think that's his role. I think he will remember to lighten them up, you know, put a confetti bomb at a meeting once in a while to make people laugh, have her make different types of goofy bubbles, you know, just something to keep it from all eating her alive, I think is Luca's main role.
I trust you.
In Aaron, we trust.
Like, he's the Mrs. Doubtfire. Like, he's the dad who throws the party and then doesn't clean it up. And then the wife is just like, ah. But right now she doesn't care because she has a team of people who can clean it up.
Yeah. Hey, that might be a little harsh on him because he really does pay attention. He's the one in the background that was saying she really needs to be taught how to fly or she really needs this. I think he pays attention a little too much for that. But he's the one who is always, now that he's not an asshole and he's paying attention and not being so selfish, he's given like Hudson feedback in the, you know, and told people like, this is what Tamsin needs. Tamsin needs this. Tamsin needs that. So I don't know about quite Mrs. Doubtfire level, but I do think that he, yeah, I think there's a role for him, but I, you know, it's gonna, well, a lot of it will be, and I know this will upset some people because they just want the answers, but I think it'll be more fun that people will have some of their own imagination to play with, because when it ends at the last, after she graduates and becomes queen, it's not gonna have all the answers. They won't all be mated by then. Some of it will be just for people to figure out and have the answer be what they want it to be. Because I mean,
he has matured.
Yeah.
He has gotten better. Well, and is more attentive to her. He is. He's not a terrible person.
No. And I think even like when they found out that she was 25 instead of that she lost a year, basically, I think his reaction of like, oh my God, thank God you're so much hotter, older women, da 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 da. I think that is what she needs in her life, because otherwise the crazy will eat her.
Right, the levity that he brings.
Yeah. He pays attention to see when she it's too much, or like I was saying, like that she needed to be taught to fly, like that Hudson needed to step up and to help her when nobody else could.
You've convinced me.
I've convinced you. No, I you know, I, because I mean, Mrs. Doubtfire lost his wife in the end, so I don't think he's that. I don't think it's that level of. And, God, anytime we talk about Robin Williams, my heart hurts still. But yeah, I don't think it's that.
We just saw the musical.
What?
We just saw the musical. That makes me think of it, because yeah,
I gotcha. Okay, so all that's left is Tamsin, is how far she's come. Or unless there's anybody other characters. Oh, Izzy? Should we talk about Izzy? How far she's come?
Sure. Okay, this is going to be random, but
okay.
But Juan. Every time Juan comes into a scene, I'm like, Juan. And then he does something nice, and I'm like, fine.
Oh, you like his redemption arc?
Yes, because before, yeah. He was so prickly and so just hateful toward her. Mm-hmm. That when he comes in and she like relies on him, I'm like, don't do it. Don't do it. Don't rely on him. But then he does the right thing. And so, you know, yeah. Have to be okay with it.
I think Tamsin's a little too forgiving for her own good, but I think that's a really important quality of a queen. I think that's why she'll be a good queen. Yeah. I like that they kept Juan around. I like that they gave him And they tried to understand of how bad his family is and all the whole thing with Mason and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think that actually shows a lot of growth on Tamsin's part too, because she was so fast to write people off and run away before, but now I mean she used to, you know,
well, she's putting him on her team.
What?
She's putting him on her team. Like
yeah. And, you know, give them second chances and like give them if they give them the way to help themselves. But I've gotten some criticism and, you know, again, everybody's entitled to an opinion and how they see things. And we're never all going to see things the same way. But I've had some people be like, you know, she was so strong in the beginning and now you've made her like magically stronger. But like, she's just a weaker woman now. And see, I don't see that. I see it as she was so broken. She couldn't have conversations and deal with difficult topics. She couldn't cry. And I don't see crying as a weakness. I see it as the inability to handle your emotions or deal with emotions as being so broken that now she's, I mean, yeah, sometimes she cries a little too much, or sometimes she doesn't cry when it's, you know, or she over, you know, whatever, but there'll be a regression to the mean, but she's learning how to. It's healthy. It's healthier that she handles. And I think that's a huge breakthrough and shows her strength of becoming an adult and mentally, emotionally healthy, having these, you know what I mean? Woman, because she cries and shows her emotions. Like, what? What? Is that what we say about women now? Like, what?
That's an oversimplification.
Yes.
It's oversimplifying the bearing the lead on, in a way. Like,
oh, yeah,
that's not a demonstration of strength or weakness. And saying that she's become weaker as she's gotten older, I think that she picks her battles. I think that she's separated the wheat from the chaff. She's decided what's important, what's not, what's worth her time. And that's a super strength in the world, in life,
yeah,
that you have to kind of cut the shit. Like, who cares?
Well, and I mean, even like for us mere humans, they're proving more and more that like people who don't cry, who don't show their emotions, who just keep it all inside, have heart disease, more chances of stroke, all these different things. They're showing that it is not healthy. It's not good to keep it all in and like just ignore, repress any of it. Uh-huh. So I think, like, I've made this comparison, or people have said, or seen the comparison, that, like, Tamsin is almost like a younger Seraphine. And I would absolutely agree with that. Sarah is, like, in a lot of ways, an older Tamsin. Not much older, but in a lot of ways older. They're only, like, 5 years apart, but because there's been so many years progression across AU and not as many across Seraphine, it also seems. Plus, Sarah went through different stuff. Sometimes Sarah seems like a 50-year-old and a 30-year-old's body. She seems so much older to me. Like, she really does. I mean, but yeah. So, like, I've seen that progression, and it's the same thing to me. Like, I've had people say, like, oh, God, she cries all the time now. Like, what did you do to her? It's like, that doesn't make her weak. That makes her going to therapy, getting shit out, learning to manage your emotions and have an emotional response to process, so it doesn't keep all coming out snowballing. That's what Tamsin kept having, is it kept all snowballing, and it would turn into these, you know, huge
festering. Oh yeah,
yeah.
That created a volcano.
Yes, and now she's learning that, you know, a little teary of this and that. Even when she was talking with Neldor about the whole, don't abuse me this time kind of thing, or don't, you know, don't, or sorry, Luca, when she was saying, don't abuse me this time, you know, a little teary here and there, like that's a normal, appropriate, proportional response to the level of, and I think that alone is huge for Tams to have. See, for me, I'm so proud of her to get to that level where not only she can say it, she can feel it, she can process it, and it had a normal, safe outcome for her. Like, I'm getting teary-eyed, just my girl.
Well, she's down, girl. And even if she gets upset about her, she's saying, like, these are my boundaries. You're going to respect my boundaries. And then she doesn't let him disrespect the boundaries, whether it's, you know, inadvertent or not. She stands up for herself. And if you get a little teary, stand up for yourself. So what?
Yeah. Or even like talking with Neldor about the whole thing of where they're at. Saying, okay, I hear you. I think I need a day or some time to process this. Maybe talk a little bit with some people, see where I'm officially at. But I need to take a step back and just deal. I after I finished that scene, I was like, I almost felt like a proud auntie. Like, I'm like, she's come so far to be able to say and do this as opposed to just, okay, and walking away or jumping on her bike. Like, when was the last time she went on her motorcycle? Like, okay, fine, she can fly now, so why the fucking motorcycle? But still, like, she doesn't, or even just, yes, sometimes fine, she still accidentally teleports, but like, all of that just,
she doesn't
exploding
bail. Yeah, she doesn't bail like she used to.
Yeah, or now at least she tells them she's going to and she needs a timeout. Like, all of it. It's just, she's come so, so far to me that sometimes I'm just like a proud little auntie, like, yay, my girl. I want to give a big thanks to my editor for joining me for such a fun conversation. Also to all our fans for checking out this podcast. I hope you like what you heard and decide to stick around. Please make sure to subscribe to the Fat Books podcast on YouTube or Spotify, or that little purple icon on your Apple device. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook to stay up to date on who we're recording with and when episodes are coming out. There's also a Patreon if you want to support the podcast and keep it going. Since there's no guest, I guess we're just talking about what I've got going on. And what do I have going on? The new Artemis released. There's a Sarah upcoming. And I'm working on the next Enchantress. So hope you guys are all excited about that. And thanks for staying till the end and hope you enjoyed it.
Life of Riley. Kevin MacLeod. Incomtech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. http://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0